Born in 1946, Aleš Macháček has been through experiences that it is hard for people from the West to imagine. In 1977, he was sentenced to 3 years in prison for helping to distribute books and periodicals that were banned by the regime in Czechoslovakia. And in 1985, he was bullied into exile in London as part of a secret police campaign to get rid of troublesome dissidents. That was where he met his partner, Jane Kerwin. Today, they live in Prague in a flat above an old cinema built by Aleš's grandparents nearly a century ago. All this has proved inspiration for an unusual and moving book, Second Exile, in which Aleš tells his story interspersed with Jane's poems, responding to events in Aleš's life, his family history, and their shared experiences. David Vaughan reports.
Aleš Macháček tells his story in very simple, direct prose, going back to the lives of his parents and grandparents before the war, the death of his uncle during the German occupation, and a childhood in post-war Czechoslovakia that saw a gradual awareness of what it means to live in a totalitarian society. What follows is a life of exclusion and ultimately persecution. His prose contrasts with the lyricism, even sensuousness, of Jane Kerwin's poems, which offer another vision of these events, as she has come to understand them through Aleš, through members of his family, and through her own experience of Prague, and also through the process of osmosis that comes from years sharing our life with another person. The book's illustrations, mostly photographs from Aleš's family album, are a further piece in the mosaic. The result is a book that is very different from most accounts of communist Czechoslovakia. I spoke to Jane and Aleš, and we began by talking about this unusual form.
We can call it unusual form because it's contained Jane's poems and my memoir. I thought it needs to be some kind of record of what really happens.
I'd been writing the poems, and he thought he could put the bits that I had been a bit poetic about a bit more accurately.
And basically, Aleš, it tells the story of your life and some of the strange, surreal, dramatic things that happened to you in the course of the second half of the 20th century in Czechoslovakia.
Yes, indeed. She started to kind of take in my story, which for me was much easier than any writing. I can talk, but it's difficult to write, say, in my second language. So she made notes, and then she kind of converted it into poems.
The most dramatic moment in the book is, Aleš, when you're arrested in the late 1970s for your involvement with Charter 77 and with smuggling publications in and out of Czechoslovakia.
Yes, it was most likely a most difficult moment in my life, but we tried to put all these points of turn in history in my life, so it's not just about it.
And you were sentenced to 3 years in prison.
Yes, three and a half years, which I serve in Bory, which is well-known prison in the close to Plzeň.
And for you, Jane, it must be very hard, not coming from Czechoslovakia, to understand this extraordinary process whereby people were being locked up more or less arbitrarily for crimes that they hadn't committed.
Yes, one of the hardest things to hear Aleš talk about was him having to leave his young children. He had a child of about five and one of about two. And it was responding to that, I think, together with his description of the cell that he was in, especially the first year. So I'll read the last little bit of a poem called Gamblers, because Aleš has always been a gambler. He used to fund his way for university by gambling. An air about you of those missing fathers, in a cell with four others, throw of the dice, light on day and night, stack of beds, one table, four chairs. There was no argument, whoever could not sit, stood. Books were mainly tractor romances. You hid the dice under the toilet rim. Occasionally a bet, a small twist of tobacco, but not necessary. Throw of the dice, random call of numbers, an instant in that flight of chance, change, of letting go.
Tractor romances.
Yes, I think I did interrogate Alice about... I mean, that's another thing, though. He hates questions, so most of the time it's I don't know. But I did want to know what they were given to read. And they did sound mostly Russian and mostly about tractors.
Alice, another thing that intrigues me is the fact that we're sitting in your flat in Prague. And this is actually the flat that figures very prominently in the book because it's where your grandparents lived and your parents. It's also where your grandparents had a cinema, which is now, aptly enough, a gambling den in the ground floor.
I think this is my kind of life-saving gift from my grandparents because it provides me safe haven in Prague and much-needed accommodation for me and Jane.
The fact that your grandparents had this cinema here, it figures both in the way you tell the story and also in Jane's poems. I very much like this poem that Jane has written that's dedicated to Alesha's grandmother. It's called Still Life.
Yes, he describes when his uncle was arrested. Alesha was actually born 9 months after his uncle died in Ravensbrück.
This was during the Second World War, during the occupation.
Yes, so his name was Alice, and he was arrested in 1943, and he was here in this flat. His parents were with him. He was 20. So this is the poem. Still Life, Prague, 1943. She sits in the flat above the cinema. Downstairs they're watching a comedy. Looks away from the station opposite. Trains that no longer take lovers to sigh in crushed grass. Beds of mint and thyme, or feel the fur that cushions the peach, paths slimed purple with plum. Downstairs they're not rolling in the aisles. No one laughs as the small man slides on goose fat, lands on the squawking pig. She can see mushrooms among pines, carpet of rough-stemmed kozaks under birches, the orange cup near aspens. The fragile yellow Lishki Holubinki, the shib with its tough, short legs, dark brown cap. She rolls the film back and back, slowing the frames as she breaks through moss, earth, clay, until she reaches her centre, the dark grey granite.
You've got the celluloid of film, you've got the granite, and you've got those wonderful Czech words for different mushrooms in there, the kozak, the hřib, the holubinky. Jane, I have the impression you identify somewhat with Alice's grandmother. Am I right?
I suppose in the way that it's a kind of battle with Czechs generally, that they have a very male history or a line back. So it's just that she was so incredibly shadowy. She was down the box office running the films. And then Alice's mother was the one who came in to Bory every 3 months when they were allowed a visitor, who smuggled in a radio twice. She could have got into trouble. So it's the women, really, of his particular story that he just left to the side and I found completely fascinating. I knew his mother. She only died a couple of years ago. She was an extraordinary woman.
And Alice, you were, after you were released from prison, you eventually ended up emigrating to Britain, didn't you?
After 5 years of quite a hard life here, I emigrated, yes. I was included in action so-called Asanace, and it was quite easy to leave country.
The regime was actively trying to encourage dissidents to leave so that they couldn't cause trouble, weren't they?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
And that's presumably how you came to meet Jane.
Well, I chose London for a really good reason, and Jane was just a bonus.
He came in 85 with no English, and my neighbour but one used to bring Samizdat to Prague, and she was helping him learn English, and he was looking for work. He couldn't get work, so he fixed my gate, and it still doesn't work.
That brings us closer to the present day, and I know that there's one more extract both from your prose, the telling of the story, and also from the poetry that you would like to return to. If you could maybe tell me about what we're going to hear next.
I will just read a short bit of a poem called Lascaux, which is based on where we're living. We live a lot of the time in the country in a ruined cottage.
And I should add that Laskov means love, but in the vocative case, so oh love, I suppose, or my love.
So this is the final bit. I can see skin on toadstools harden, split, azalea buds loosen and open. The gate is stiff, the metal bucket that props it shut stuck into mud. You went off in a rush, packing papers and books, cries of children in the yard, the sky quite grey. Trees were luminous those days, the silver birch wept when you left. In the city you might have been woken at dawn and taken to Bartolomieska. I will go to the bridge and wait for you.
And Bartolomieska is notoriously the headquarters of the police in Prague, where people were taken to be interrogated.
Yes, it is. Nice little kind of cells there.
You've now both come back and settled in the Czech Republic. But I have the feeling, Aleš, that there's still something of the dissident in you.
Well, I like to think of myself as a dissident. As my friend says, once a dissident, you always a dissident. Embrace various actions.
If you could maybe read a little extract from the book that illustrates this.
Yeah, I will not, but I will be happy to ask Jane to read it.
Okay.
So this is Alice's voice. Now I embrace the freedom to protest. We hold candles in Wenceslas Square against the Iraq War, march on the castle when Klaus vetoes same-sex marriages, picket outside Parliament when Čunek is still Deputy Prime Minister and spouting his racist abuse. In October 2007, I'm arrested again. Four policemen haul me away from demonstrating against nuclear weapons at Faslane in Scotland. I don't resist when they put me in a cell for 24 hours. Jane is in Greenock in a cell on her own. I'm in Clydebank, locked up with two others. It's fascinating. A union organiser tells me about the miners' strike, a doctor about his conviction that nuclear weapons are the biggest enemy to health.
And finally, I find it such a strange paradox in this country, the odd combination of continuity and discontinuity, the fact that we're sitting in the flat where your grandparents lived, where your uncle was arrested in 1943, and here you are, two generations later, living here. And yet at the same time, there's been all this extraordinary and very dramatic discontinuity in Czechoslovak and Czech history.
When Aleš came back, he found that his family were quite unwelcoming in a way, that they saw him as evidence of that discontinuity, and they had tried to keep things going through the whole Bolshevik era. But there is an anger underneath. There's an anger with people who feel that something's been taken from them, they've been cheated. And I think that suspicion still is around.
Well, I was mostly surprised about hostility towards the people coming from exile, which I couldn't understand where it's come from. And it's probably from kind of guilt. It's quite difficult to square it.
And Jane, there's obviously a discontinuity in your life as well, in the fact that you're of Irish origin, you've lived in Britain, you've now moved to the Czech Republic.
Yes, but I still feel quite nomadic. I think there's definitely traveller roots in my background. And what I like most, the place I feel most at home, is actually about an hour and a half from Prague. We bought it in 2000 as a ruin, and we're living without water and electricity for some time. And it's slowly been built. And that countryside could be Mayo, it could be the west of Ireland. And so I feel a kind of global link.
On that more upbeat note, let's end our conversation. We've really only just managed to touch the surface of what's a very interesting and complex story that comes out of this book, Second Exile by Aleš Macháček and Jane Kerwin, published by Rockingham Press in the United Kingdom. Thank you both very much indeed for talking to Radio Prague.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.